Hello, and welcome to Indivisible 101 here on WBAI. I'm Lisa Raymond Tolan. I'm a born and raised New Yorker. I'm a mom and an occupational therapist at an elementary school during the day and a full-time activist pretty much all the other times.
And I'm Liat Olenek. I'm a public school science teacher, also a born and raised Brooklynite, and full-time activist all of the time I'm not teaching.
And we are co-presidents of a local nonprofit called Indivisible Nation BK.
And this is our first episode of our radio show, which will be a half hour every Thursday at 7 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM, a non-commercial, listener-supported Pacifica Foundation radio station in New York City. Every week, we'll be delving into different topics on the city, state, and local level, interviewing politicians, local activists, and community leaders, and talking about tools and strategies for engaging in politics and making your voice heard in government. We'll also be taking listener calls later on, so feel free to call in to WBAI Live, 212-209-2877, and we'll answer your questions on the air in the later part of the show.
So every week that Trump has been elected has been crazy, but this week, just 3 days ago actually, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced that they will begin impeachment proceedings into President Trump. This happened in part because lots and lots of people were taking action, whether through phone calls, going to protests, or going to meetings, to push their representatives to take bold action. But it's also kind of in part because of the president breaking the law. But the action part, that is what Indivisible is all about. On this week's show, we're going to give some background on Indivisible. How did it start? What is it? And how can it be a successful approach to enacting change? You've probably heard the term indivisible at some point over the past 3 years, but you may not know what it means, so we're here to break it down for you. Indivisible is a nationwide movement that got started by former congressional staffers who released a Google Doc called the Indivisible Guide right around after the time Trump got elected in 2016. The idea was basically to use Tea Party tactics to fight the Trump administration and support a progressive agenda. That Google Doc inspired thousands of groups across the country to spring up, and now there's a full-fledged indivisible.org, an active local groups literally in every corner of the country.
So how did we find Indivisible and get involved? So personally, for myself, before 2016, I was an educator, I worked with young kids, I was really passionate about doing that work and advocating for public schools, and I thought that that was my lane, that's how I'm contributing. And then the 2016 election happened, and I just sunk into despair and quickly realized that I couldn't just focus on my day job of working with kids, that there was a lot more I needed to do, but I didn't know where to start. So I started going meeting shopping. I would just go to organizational group meetings, to house meetings, meetings all over the city. And so much of what I was finding was people mourning basically the election and just a lot of processing, but not a lot of action. And then I went to this one meeting, the first or second Get Organized BK meeting here in Brooklyn. And I went to a breakout group, and there were other women in the group who were really focused on taking action. They didn't want to talk about how sad they were. They didn't want to talk about what their fears were. They just wanted to focus on action. And that was what I needed in that moment. So I connected with these other women who I'd never met before. We were talking about fighting Steve Bannon and blocking his position in government. And someone mentioned that they were going to have a meeting at their house a few days later. Never met her before, but I showed up at her house a few days later and said, okay, here's what I think we should do. We should table. We should organize this event. And we just got started. We read the Indivisible Guide. We decided we're going to be indivisible. And from then on, it's been 3 years. It's been an incredible learning process of so many ways that I never knew I could be involved in government. And it's been very cool.
So before 2016, I considered myself political in that I always voted. My pop-up always told me, if you don't vote, you can't complain. Only he didn't use the word complain. So I was always a voter. And before 2016, I would donate to campaigns, I would wear merchandise, but I didn't do much, and I didn't ever phone bank because I find phone calls to be terrifying. And I remember prior to the 2016 election, I had my laptop open, I was ready to phone bank for Hillary, and I completely panicked, and I slammed my laptop closed, and I was thinking about all my friends who were phone banking, and they were going to do it for me, so I didn't have to. Then on election night, when things were going the way they went, I was literally catatonic, and I was sitting there, and I was at my friend's house, and her husband was talking to me, and for the life of me, he sounded like one of those Peanuts teachers going, ma, 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 ma. I didn't know what he was saying because I was so shut down and so upset about what had happened, and all I can think about was that slamming of the laptop and how I didn't phone bank. I didn't do everything that I could. I didn't do anything except buy a hat and maybe a t-shirt and give some money. And I was thinking to myself, I am literally never going to have that happen again. I am never going to be in a position where I didn't do everything that I could and find myself in a political reality that is appalling and horrifying and continues to be appalling and horrifying 3 years later. So I ended up going to the same Get Organized BK meeting that Liat went to. And I went to a breakout group that was then titled Dump Bannon because I was so mad about Steve Bannon. And slowly but surely, and by that I mean the next week, we changed to organizing appointments, opposing appointments, because it wasn't just Steve Bannon who was a problem. It was every single person he was appointing to the cabinet. And then we read The Indivisible Guide. We totally fell in love with it. And I have always believed, and because I'm an occupational therapist, I know this to be true therapeutically, that doing is healing and doing inspires hope and doing is the exact opposite of anxiety and fear.
Amen. So what was in this Google Doc that got us so inspired, and how does Indivisible work? So we're going to quickly go through some of the tools and strategies that we use with Indivisible and that groups across the country use and that anyone can use to impact our government. And many of these will be topics for future shows. So one big tool is making phone calls to elected officials. Basically, anyone can do this. It takes 1 minute. And every call you make is tallied by the staff and reported back to those electeds. This week, Indivisibles across the country were flooding the phone lines demanding an impeachment inquiry. That definitely played a part in the result that we're seeing. Another big Indivisible tactic is meetings with elected officials, which is something anyone can do because they work for you. So I remember when I read the Indivisible Guide back in December of 2016, it said, go make a meeting with your elected officials. And I thought, okay, great, I'm going to do it. And I called up Senator Gillibrand's office. I requested a meeting and got it scheduled for the next week. And I had never done anything like this before and was shocked that I could do something like this as a normal person, not someone who works in politics. Some of those people are normal too. And then we met with staff, and I think it was one of the first times, their first times, hearing how seriously constituents and New Yorkers were taking the threat of the Trump administration. And one of the big asks we made in the meeting was for Senator Gillibrand to vote no against Trump's nominees. And then Senator Gillibrand went on to vote against almost every single Trump cabinet appointment.
And since then, we've had so many meetings, just regular people, just like you. We started off meeting with staff members, but pretty soon we were meeting with the elected officials themselves. We've met with all of our Brooklyn members of Congress. We've met with Senator Chuck Schumer. We've met with Governor Andrew Cuomo. We've met with some presidential candidates. And often when we go to these meetings, we bring the signed constituent letters that we've been getting when we're tabling over the weekends. We do it once or twice a month in all kinds of weather, snow, rain, cold, extreme heat. And we bring them to the office and bring these stacks of letters. I think over the last 3 years, we've probably gotten like 30,000 letters signed, which is pretty amazing. And it has a real impact on what the staff and electeds are doing and thinking about legislation and policy priorities. But we're just regular people. Did you know that you yourself, you, a constituent, can request a meeting with a representative? You can just call them up and say, I would like to meet with my representative. They may not say yes right away. You may have to call a few times, but it can happen because they work for you. You're their boss. And I didn't know that prior to Indivisible. And if you don't want to do this on your own, if you start working with your local Indivisible group, you can join the meetings that they're setting up and do it with friends. And we get together and we plan the meeting and we set the agenda and figure out who's saying what. And it's super, super impactful. But But there are times when you might not be able to meet with the elected officials because you can't leave work in the middle of the day or the electeds don't get back to you, but you can still reach them by showing up at one of their town halls. Here in New York, many of our electeds hold regular town halls like Senator Gillibrand and Representative Velasquez. Others may not have had one in many years. Spoiler, I'm talking about Senator Schumer. But if they do have one, you can go and you can ask any question you like. And if they don't hold town halls, like Senator Schumer, you can hold an empty chair town hall, which we did a couple of years ago when elected officials refused to hold them themselves. You can also get questions answered or get the attention of your representatives when you're out and about in public. This is called bird dogging, which is essentially just stalking your electeds and questioning them in public spaces. But why is it called bird dogging? It's based on using the term bird dog, which refers to a pointer or another kind of hunting dog to hunt game, except in this case, we're definitely not hunting. Political bird dogging can be incredibly impactful, such as when Anna Maria Archila and Maria Gallagher cornered Senator Jeff Flake in an elevator during the Kavanaugh hearings and told them their stories, and then he immediately requested additional FBI investigations.
So bird dogging can also be fun and creative. Indivisible Nation BK staged a quote-unquote bird-watching event outside a certain senator's apartment building because he refused to hold town halls. And we had binoculars and field vests looking for him outside his apartment building. And not long after, he did schedule a town hall.
And we also followed that same certain senator at a street fair over the summer with giant eye art to let him know that we were watching him. And then he gave us a 20-minute meeting right there on the street corner.
All fun stuff.
So fun.
This next strategy is a big one, and it seems obvious, but in many ways it's super complicated and can be intimidating. Elections. This is a huge tactic for making change, advancing economic, racial, and climate justice, and holding our representatives accountable, which is what Indivisible is also all about. This includes general elections, of course, but also primaries. Primaries are incredibly effective at pushing elected officials to be more reflective of their constituents or more active on certain issues. There are so many tools available to people to get involved in elections, from canvassing to phone and text banking to voter registration. There's postcarding, fundraising, writing, flyering, and we're going to dig into lots of them in the coming months. Before I got involved with Indivisible, I just didn't even know how many ways I could get involved in elections. Basically, I had phone banked and I had donated, and that was about it. So one of the things we're really excited to talk through on this show is, how do all these tools really work? Which ones are effective? Which ones are good if you're an introvert? When to do them in a campaign? And then we also are excited to spotlight organizations that are mobilizing people right now to make big change in 2020.
So the last tool we're going to dig into is also pretty obvious, but at the same time, it's really complex. Protesting. It's a great tool to make political change, but not all protests are created equal. This isn't specifically an Indivisible strategy, but it's an important one because partly it's the most accessible and partly because it's the most visible to people. All you have to do is show up with a sign, right? Well, yes and no. And that's why next week's episode will focus exclusively on protesting, with guest activist and author L.A. Kaufman, who I was totally fangirl over, and we'll be talking through what makes a good protest, what types of protests are the most effective, and how showing up with a sign is just the beginning.
For those just tuning in, this is Liat Olenek and Lisa Raymond Tolan on Indivisible 101 on WBAI, listener-sponsored non-commercial radio here in New York at 99.5 FM. We're here talking about the Indivisible movement and strategies for making political change. And we're opening up the phone lines now. So give us a call at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877.
So while we're waiting for you to make your call, we have another Indivisible activist with us, Elizabeth Pauker, to share a question that she often gets about Indivisible.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth, and I'm an activist in Brooklyn. And a comment that I hear a lot from friends and coworkers is that New York is a blue state, and while they're upset about what's happening in the country, they feel like they can't really do anything or be an effective activist here in New York. So are there actions that people living in New York can do to make a difference?
Yes, absolutely. And I could talk about this forever, but I'm just going to note a few things. So one, even though New York is a blue state in presidential elections, it's not only about presidential campaigns, but all levels of government that impact people's lives. So, for instance, most issues that affect your everyday life, from education to housing to transportation and how elections work, are largely determined at the state and local level, where your voice can have a huge impact. Not to mention congressional elections. Lots of New Yorkers who are outraged by the Trump administration are represented by Republicans. But even if you're a Democrat and you're represented by a Democrat, there is still so much you can do to hold your representatives accountable. Just because someone is in your party does not mean they are actually fighting for the things you want them to fight for. And finally, in terms of elections, there's lots of ways to get involved from afar. You can text bank, phone bank, or even fundraise for candidates who are running in other states. And we're excited to talk about that in future episodes. So again, we're opening up the phone lines. This is Indivisible 101 on WBAI. So give us a call at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877.
Thanks, Liat. I have another question that I hear from a lot of friends, which is that people have really busy lives, and you can be a parent, you have kids, you're working a job. I mean, how do you guys juggle everything that you do for your activism? But also, if you only have a small amount of time for activism, what's the best use of it?
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that. I work full time. I have two kids. Every night I have to make dinner, which is the straw that breaks my back. Really, I have to cook dinner again? And I get it that it's, you know, we're all super, super busy. Life in New York is hectic and demanding, and it's hard to imagine just squeezing in even one more thing. But that's why I always like to think of being an activist and taking action as a habit that you have to build into your daily schedule, kind of like when you're changing your diet or you're adding more exercise. It has to become part of your daily routine. And so many of the actions you can take using the Indivisible model are really short. A phone call, less than 5 minutes. You can do it while you're driving. You can do it while you're walking down the street. You can combine different actions. Like if you're going to a protest in Foley Square, like maybe you want to combine it with something else that's super fun, like walking across the Brooklyn Bridge. Or maybe there's one in Union Square and maybe you'll go to the farmer's market after. Kind of like build in things that you like to do. And then, oh, I'll also fit in this protest. But like make yourself accountable. Put it in your Google Calendar. Pick a thing. You don't have to do all the things, but do one thing. Find an accountability buddy to, you know, keep yourselves on track. And that way you can do it with a friend, which is way more fun. So we have a phone call. Hey, this is Lisa. You're on Indivisible 101 and WBAI, and you are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Steve Wagner. I'm calling from Burham Hill in Brooklyn.
Hey, Steve. What's your question?
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Steve.
I have two questions, actually. Full disclosure to the listeners, I am also a member of Indivisible Nation, BK.
Thank you for your transparency, Steve.
I wanted to participate a little bit. One point of clarification. Earlier, you had said that Chuck Schumer had scheduled a town hall at some point. Did he actually go?
So, good question, Steve. I'm so glad you asked that. In the end, he did not actually go to the town hall. So, it was scheduled. There were 1,500 people waiting in a 90-degree
space. It was so hot.
And then he canceled with 2 hours' notice.
But we continued to have the town hall with the people that were there and our cardboard cutout of Chuck Schumer. And people asked questions. It was covered extensively by the media. And then later that night, he held a phone town hall where people could call in. But we wanted
is
to have it in person.
Is that the same thing as the real town hall?
Sure isn't. Got to talk to your constituents face to face.
I have another question.
Okay, make it quick, though. We've got another caller on the line.
Sure. What's your proudest thing that Indivisible Nation BK has actually done through your actions? You mentioned Kirsten Gillibrand coming out against appointments. What are some other tangible things that the group has done? And I could take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Steve, so much. We'll think about that one.
Okay, we have another caller. Hey, this is Indivisible 101 on WBAI, and you are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Steve from Riverdale. I just wanted to call in and wish both of you the best of success, and I'm enjoying listening, and that's it.
Thank you so much, Steve, for your support. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Steve. And this is Indivisible 101 on WBAI. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, my name is Hammer, and I'm calling from Brooklyn. I was calling just to make a comment that protesting, I feel that if you do the history, doesn't really work. It just, what does it do? It gives you laws that's given to you by a man, which we have the Constitution already. If people would study the Constitution more and people would be more educated about the Constitution, there's devices in there where you can get these politicians out, okay, by the Constitution. But we depend on professionals a lot to read what the law is. And then we protest. I mean, would you protest if something is yours? Because you're supposed to be a republic, not a democracy. But if we're a republic, how in the world that we are letting the people that are supposed to be our public servants rule and vote for them? That don't make no sense. And protest against them. If it's yours and it's your country, you're supposed to have a device to get them out right away, which they do if you study the Constitution, if God wills it. So this is why I said protest doesn't work. It just gives you them what laws they want you to listen to. Which, if you look in 1776, you know, they didn't do protests. You know, it was either a revolution and they had the Constitution and they made the Constitution. And
thank you so much for sharing your comment. I know you're right. Okay. There's so many ways to get involved in government. Protest is just one of them, and different ways work for different people. You know, and protest has a long history in America of being part of making change. But we are definitely excited to talk about other strategies and other parts of politics. So thank you so much for weighing in.
Hey, this is Indivisible 101. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from? Oh, is there nobody there? Oh, there's nobody there.
That was a ghost question.
Oh, it was a ghost question. That's a really good question.
So for those of you just tuning in, this is Indivisible 101 on WBAI, and we are taking calls now, so you can give us a call at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. And we also wanted to mention that Indivisible Nation BK meets every month at the first Wednesday of the month at the Commons Cafe right here in Brooklyn. And there is a meeting coming up this Wednesday. It's open to the public. All are welcome. So that's the first Wednesday of the month. The next one is this Wednesday at the Commons Cafe here in Brooklyn.
And if you want to follow us on social media, which is another way you can get involved by sharing and retweeting, we post almost 2 to 3 times a week, sometimes more, call scripts you can use to make your phone call and other actions. And you can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at BK Indivisible. We have another caller. Welcome to Indivisible 101. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm from Brooklyn, and a long time listener of BAI. I used to work there.
Yay.
And I wanted to know when you started this show.
Today. Literally 25 minutes ago.
Okay. No, so this is the first time on the air.
Yes.
For the show.
Yes.
Okay. And how old are you guys?
Oh, I'm 46.
I'm 33. Okay. And what's I did have to think about it for a second, though.
Okay. And I would like to know how I just tuned in like about 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
So excuse me if I miss things that you already said. I'd like to know how you got politically active.
Yeah,
what drew you to?
We actually did cover that in the early part of the show. I think it was a sense of, you know, fear and outrage and wanting to take action and get involved drew us both to the Indivisible model of action. Thank you so much for your call. Hi, you're on the air with Indivisible 101. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Jim, calling from Park Slope.
Hey, Jim. What's your question?
I'm on the air?
You are.
Oh, because I was just listening to a lady. Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind. Confused. Anyway, as an introvert, you may be covering this in later programs, but the question, you were talking about phone banking and how you get scared of it, like I do as well. I'm wondering that I'm thinking that text banking has been more effective. This gets a little wonky, I guess, but I'm wondering that if there's since technology is call screening makes it easier or better to more effective rather to text bank rather than phone bank. Just see what your views on that are.
Thanks, Jim. You know, I think I agree that if you're an introvert and talking to people that you don't know is difficult for you, text banking is a great option. And it's a pretty new strategy. So there's some research on how effective it is, but it was mostly first used in the 2018 election cycle. So, you know, we're starting to see how it compares to phone banking. But I think that's a great question and definitely something we could devote a full show to later on this year, and definitely we'll talk about that.
Yeah, and text banking can feel a little intimidating as you're getting used to the technology, but once you get it, you can move through it. It's super accessible. You can do it anytime from the comfort of your own home, on the subway. I've done it at a skate park. I've done it at the park. Super easy. All right, we have time for one more caller. You're on WBAI with Indivisible 101. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, how y'all doing? This is Ish. I'm from Brooklyn.
Hi, Ish. What's your question?
My question is, with the new legislative session coming up in New York, what do you guys think is like the most important thing for us to look at?
That's a great question, and I could talk about that for a long time. I think I'm, as an educator, one thing I'm really looking forward to working on and hopefully seeing is full funding for public schools in New York State. That was one legislative item that didn't really come through in the last session. But I know there's also a lot of other really key issues with housing, with transportation, with climate justice, where there was a lot of progress made in the last session, but there's still pieces that need to be worked on. But I, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to talking about that on upcoming shows too.
And I think when you're making an impact, if you call your state legislatures and your city legislatures, you can make such a huge impact with just a few calls. Mm-hmm. You know, federal electeds get tons and tons of calls, but our state ones really have a huge impact on how we live and the kind of lives that we lead and the quality of life. And if you call your state legislatures, if you don't know who they are, look them up. You can call them up and make a huge impact on the choices they make when they're in session.
And on that note, thanks to everyone who called in. So we'll be answering your questions every week. Feel free to also tweet your questions at us anytime between now and next Thursday with the hashtag AskINBK or call in live next Thursday. We are Lisa and Liat on Indivisible 101. You can find out more about us at www.indivisiblenationbk.org and on at BK Indivisible on Twitter. And in case you missed it earlier, our meetings are the first Wednesday of every month at the Brooklyn Commons Cafe right here on Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. And that's this coming Wednesday. And we hope you have a great week. Remember, don't despair, organize.
Y cállate, siéntate bien. No puedo hacer, pero nadie, nadie me conocerá. Si lo dejo en mí, si lo guardo así y me busca. No puedo callarme, no, no, no puedo callarme, no, mujer implacable, no, no puedo callarme por nadie más, no. No callaré. porque nada.